Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Healthcare system, of course, is front and center of everybody's mind right now, given what we're facing with the coronavirus. But there's longer term issues with the healthcare system in Canada, and it's driven in at least in some part because of the changing demographic of our population.
Yeah, right?
This
now,
is not something we haven't talked about before.
Yeah, we've only been talking about it for, I don't know, 10 years, yeah. Every single year on the show
yeah.
About this problem that's coming. And guess what? 10 years later, we're here.
Yep.
We're here.
Yep.
And so I think our listeners need to understand what the impacts can be. And so let's bring the professionals on here and kind of talk about what the impacts can be.
Yeah, so we're pleased to have Dr. Nathan Stahl, who is a geriatrician and a research fellow at the University of Toronto and Women's College Research Institute. Dr. Stahl, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Let me see if I can sort of frame the conversation with some interesting stats that I read that one of your, I guess you had collaborated on with one of your colleagues. According to the 2019 Canadian population data, 17% of the population is now 65 or older, and 16% of the population is 14 years or younger. The first population is growing at a fast pace, the younger population not so much on a relative basis. We have 304 geriatricians, according to your research. We have 2,800 pediatricians. It seems to me that we're positioned... how should I say
for a baby
diplomatically
boomer.
Imbalanced
it looks like we're positioned for the baby boomer for baby booming to happen but not the baby boomer that's already here.
That's fair. So can you give us some context around this, Dr. Stahl, and then we can talk about some of the challenges and areas where we can improve?
Yeah, absolutely. So even though we're talking about older adults, so people 65 years and older, it's really actually a young phenomenon, so to speak, that we have this many older people living in our society today,
right.
Which probably reflects the fact why there's, you know, talk of unpreparedness and a mismatch in terms of the specialists we need. So you highlighted this up front. You know, the traditional, when we think about population pyramids, those sort of pyramids we've all seen where we look at the distribution of age groups in society, traditionally, these have been a pyramid, right, where at the top there's very few individuals, they form a point, and at the bottom, you know, these widen out. What we're seeing now is, what's called a rectangularization of this population pyramid. So it no longer looks like a pyramid, frankly. It looks like a rectangle where you're having equal distribution of age groups across all the different age segments. So as you highlighted, for the first time in our society, we have more older adults than we do have children, which is quite remarkable, right? But that's a relatively recent phenomenon. So in Canada, we only have 304 geriatricians. By comparison, there's 10 times as many pediatricians, right? So there's this imbalance, but you know, there is something to be said about the lack of planning, but we also have to recognize that the population demographics we're facing today is a relatively new or young phenomenon.
Right.
So what are you concerned about when we have this change, Dr. Stahl?
Sure. So, you know, in medicine, sometimes we can be slower to change things, right? So, that can manifest in many different ways. So, when you talk about medical education, for example, our medical schools still have a mandatory pediatrics rotation, but we don't have a mandatory geriatrics rotation or experience, right? There are when we think about clinical rotations that people do, not just the classroom based education. Again, we have fields where people may, may go into a profession like internal medicine and geriatrics, and I may never interact in the clinical setting with a child again, but I've spent 6 weeks or more of my training in medical school dedicated to the care of children. But all of us, with the exception perhaps of pediatricians, are going to interact with older adults and need competence and need the ability to look after older adults. So there's a sort of famous saying in medicine that children aren't just small adults, reflecting the fact that you can't just extrapolate evidence and practice that you would do for adults to children. But in the same way, for a lot of things, older adults aren't just young adults. So they have special care needs, they have special considerations that need to be taken into account when you're managing that population. And that's why when you have an imbalance like this, when you have a lack of geriatricians, when you have a general lack, not just within medicine, but within our healthcare system, of knowledge and capacity to provide geriatric care, it's concerning in light of these demographic changes.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what would you say, given what you've just said there, what are the essential services that, you know, that the Canadian medical system either needs more of or needs given sort of this new phenomenon of an aging population?
Yeah, so the traditional model that sort of the 300 plus geriatricians we have in Canada has practiced by is sort of a one-on-one consultation where you sit with a patient, their caregivers, either in your office or in the hospital, and you provide a detailed consultation. That's good. There's great evidence that this care can delay institutionalization, so placement in a nursing home can have really important impacts on the patients themselves. But when you think about a vast shortage, the need for knowledge, the need for capacity in the provision of geriatric care, we need to think about how can we fan out the sort of expertise of these individuals with older adults to help everyone else have the competence and capability to provide geriatric care. So that's something that's being increasingly recognized. It's not just how can we recruit more people into the field of geriatric medicine, it's how can we make everybody else have that expertise in geriatric medicine. Hmm. And I would argue, you know, that's extends far beyond just the frontline physicians. That has to do with nursing. It has to do with all our other allied healthcare professionals. It has to do with pharmacy. It has to do with the whole way that a healthcare organization is run in terms of making it an age-friendly or older adult-friendly space that we practice medicine in. Because just focusing on how can we simply increase the number of geriatricians alone, we're sort of well beyond that. It's one piece of the puzzle, but it's not the only solution here.
That sounds great. Sounds like a long time to get into practice. And if we have an aging demographic already here, the 65-year-old today may not be able to see this until when? 85?
Well, that's if you take somebody who's an undifferentiated sort of, I guess, high school graduate or university graduate, and you're putting them through medical training and internal medicine training and geriatric medicine training. But as clinicians and many healthcare professionals, we're required to keep up with competency and ongoing medical education. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for, and it's already happening, I should say. This is not something that's not happening, but I think there's an opportunity to scale it up. Mm-hmm. To how can we make everyone more aware and more competent and more capable to provide geriatric care? And I think that's how you could see more short-term gains and benefits for individuals.
You know, this leads me to an experience that my brother and I have. So my mother is suffering dementia, and it's getting progressively worse. But maybe you can speak to this as one of the experiences. My brother gets extremely frustrated when he has to take my mom into the healthcare system from this perspective. My mom is very skilled socially. And so if you ask her a question, she can actually, she will respond with an answer with confidence that sounds accurate. But it's completely fabricated, right? And so my brother tries, as part of his experience with the health community, to give a heads up to the doctors and nurses ahead of time that if they want confirmation about what's really going on, if you have a question about what the reality is, you got to come to me to ask that question, because my mom truly doesn't know the answer to the question. And invariably what happens is the healthcare system, the doctors and the nurses are asking her, right? They defer to that. And is this some of the training that you're referring to? It's this kind of stuff, just as an awareness of that? Because I think that in our family's particular case, we could really create a lot less confusion and more efficiency in the system if there was some mechanism to deal with that, given our specific circumstance. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, so that's a really excellent example in terms of in terms of what we're talking about here. So you've touched on so many important aspects here. The first thing is that you're right. People who have dementia, there's the prevailing sort of societal stigma that surrounds these individuals that sort of suggests they're totally incapacitated, right?
Right.
And you're right, they can easily fool people and people within the healthcare system themselves. And sort of that that is exactly what we're talking about when we say that everyone needs to have some familiarity and some competency in managing these patients. Because yes, this happens all the time. People tend to retain their social graces when they have dementia, especially ones who before they may have been diagnosed with dementia already tended to be the social type, the higher educated type, the ones those types of people can fool people very easily, we're not going to be meeting their needs if people can't pick up on that. The other thing you sort of alluded to was your brother as well, right? Which is we don't do as good of a job, I would argue, in terms of integrating the family caregivers who participate in the care into our healthcare system, particularly for older adults, right? And these are big gaps where people have big misunderstandings about the roles that family caregivers are playing in the care of the individuals, the types of complex tasks family caregivers are being asked to do. So absolutely, like that is a very good example of what we're talking about here.
Dr. Stahl, we've quickly run out of time, but I want to thank you very much for taking some time and raising awareness even further. Great work.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
We've been joined by Dr. Nathan Stahl. He's a geriatrician and a research fellow at the University of Toronto and Women's College Research Institute. My friend, we're going to we got to talk a little bit about this integration of healthcare and quality of life in our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how it impacts you financially, how do you make sure that you have income for life and still deal with these potential costs of healthcare in the future. We're going to do this live online on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m. Now, you need to go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. This is our first live online session that you'll be able to have access to us and our seminar and ask some questions and answers at the end of the program online with us. This is the first online one, again, on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m. Register by going to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, stick around after the break. Are we going to recession? We're going to discuss that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.